second chapter where he's filled with the Spirit. So we'll pray and we'll begin. And since I've already read the scripture, we'll just read it as we go through. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, that you help us as we try to speak your word today. Help me, Lord, physically and mentally and spiritually. Fill us with your Spirit that we may speak your word with boldness. Ask you, Father, that you'd help us all to give attention to the word that we might grow thereby. We pray that in all that's said and done, that you be glorified. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Ezekiel had seen the Lord in the first chapter. And we learn that when he saw the glory of the Lord, he fell on his face. I've absolutely no doubt that we all, if we could see the Lord, would fall on our face before him. But the Lord intervenes, and thus begins the second chapter. Verses 1 and 2 says, he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when I spake, and when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. It's like God put him on his face so he could raise him up and cause him to hear his words, because he had a great, great work to do. This is exactly what happened with the prophet Isaiah, as we recall in the sixth chapter. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he did, he fell on his face. So here the Lord instructed Ezekiel to stand on your feet and I'll speak to you. The Spirit had entered into him. Then he heard what the Lord had to say to him. God always prepares his people by speaking his words to them and empowering them by his Spirit. Ezekiel was now ready to be commissioned, that is, to be told or commanded about his work. So we find this in the beginning in verses 3 through 5. And he said unto me, that is the Lord said unto Ezekiel, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send them unto thee, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. This nation, you remember, because they had profaned the Lord's Sabbath, God had declared that they would be taken away from their country and taken to the land of Babylon, where they would spend 70 years in captivity. They were now in captivity, And the Lord says, even unto this very day, while they're still in the captivity, their hearts are hard. They are impudent. They are stiff-necked. You know, it looks like if things got really hard and difficult on people, that they would take stock of where they were and look to the Lord. But none will except he's given grace to do so. And here God has already pronounced judgment upon them. They're going to stay this full 70 years of time in the prophet Babylon. He says to Ezekiel, he said, these are impudent and stiff-hearted children. God's covenant nation. They had no shame, no modesty in what had taken place in them. They were shameless, unable to blush. Their hearts were not pliable. And it's clear that the Lord knew them every jot and tittle. So now he sends this man to the nation so that they would positively know that a prophet had been among them. So what he's doing is sending his words to them, telling the man beforehand they're not going to listen, but to the end that he's glorified in them because he spoke warning to them again and again. Verse 6 and 7. Thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. You know, I'd hate to have to talk to a bunch of people that had their back up, their minds made up, and their hearts hard, that wouldn't listen. And there's no telling what he meant by, don't be dismayed at their looks. You know, I have preached where people looked at me like they wanted to kill me, and I think if they'd had the opportunity, they would have. I remember one time I was preaching a memorial service for a lady that attended our church, and the Lord put it on my heart to use 5 songs that this lady really enjoyed singing to use as the text for the message. So it just take you right through the scriptures. And that's what I did. I just expressed to the congregation, which was mostly her kin folks, people she loved and cared about. I said, these are the songs she loved. She loved to praise the Lord. And as I was speaking, I'll never forget, there was a man jumped up about in the middle of the place there, and he slapped his hand on his ears and he looked at me like I was the devil himself, and he said, I don't have to listen to this. And he ran out the back door. Many such things like that have taken place, but this man had the whole company looking at him like that. We're not going to listen to you, Buster. And if we had a chance, we would kill you. And the Lord had fixed his forehead. He said, I've made your forehead an adamant. Don't you be dismayed at their looks. You tell them what I told you. So here, the Lord calms him and encourages him. Don't be afraid of them, he said. Don't be afraid of their words. They're going to say things back to you, but don't you be afraid of what they have to say. Listen, you speak my words unto them. They won't listen, but it's your duty to do that. Notice he warns Ezekiel in the 8th verse. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. He warned his prophet, you better do what I told you to do. Don't you be stiff-hearted like they are. Then the Lord prepares him by filling him with his word. Open your mouth and eat that I give you. Now, the context continues from verse 9 on into the next chapter through verse 3. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Now, it was a scroll that rolls up. And he spread it out before me, and it was written within and without, both sides. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then will I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. You know, there's another picture almost like this as we studied the Revelation. You remember in the 10th chapter, the Apostle John was given a roll, and it said, eat this roll. And John took it and he ate it. And he said, it was like honey in my mouth, but in my belly, he said, it was bitter because it also had lamentations and woes upon it. When a man goes to preach the Word of God, he must first fill himself with it. It may mean reading and searching, but it most certainly means chewing or meditation upon what he's read, so that his whole being is filled with God's Word. And that's what the Lord was doing here with Ezekiel. It was sweet. God's word is sweet in the man's mouth. It may make his belly bitter because he knows the consequence of that word upon people. Now, I say that to say this. Some of you sit here time after time. I don't know whether you hear or not. I don't know whether you're hearing a word really that's said or not. But it makes me grieve inside to know that if you continue on the way you are without the Lord, that there's going to be an awful end for you. And so, you know, it always grieves God's servants when they see people continue down the broad road that leads to destruction. And so this was with this great prophet. Now, in the 4th verse through verse 7, he says this. He said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto me, for they will not hearken unto me, for all of the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. The Lord here reiterates that Ezekiel is being sent to speak God's words to this nation. They were a people who understood his word, and he could very well understand their words. And we wonder, God's notice in the sixth verse that he said this: not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, he says, God says, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. I want to ask you, dear brother and sister, do you really see what the Lord is saying to Ezekiel? If I had sent you to the nation across the sea that couldn't understand a word you said, and you couldn't understand them, they would listen to you. God said that. How can we understand what's being said? There's one answer for what the Lord said here. Why didn't he send them over to the Assyrians or to the Egyptians or to the Libyans or to those in the farthest reach of the world? Why not? Because, my beloved, they were not of God's elect. Those whom he had sovereignly chosen unto salvation before the foundation of the world. There are passages just like this in the New Testament that tell the same story, and yet people read over it and they just go right by it as if it hadn't said a word to them. Let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 11 and verses 20 through 24, we read these words. This is speaking about Jesus. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Well, Lord, why didn't you send them? Why didn't you go to Tyre and Sidon if they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes? Because he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they evidently were not of his elect. It ought to make us, I'll tell you what, it makes me fall on my face before God and cry out, blessed be your holy name, because you chose me unto salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And some will never hear because you don't give them the means and you don't quicken them to life because they're not of your sheep. There are several places where this is brought out clearly in the scriptures. In verse 8 and 9 of chapter 3, we read, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their forehead, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Listen, the God gave grace to this man that he sent to these people. He knew what he was facing. God knew every bit, every part. And the Lord had done the same for the prophet Jeremiah, who was raised up just a little while to preach to the same nation of people before Ezekiel came on the scene. Read this with me. I think it's interesting. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. Then the Lord said unto me, this is Jeremiah speaking, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. And they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their hands. Thou therefore gird up thine loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. It's interesting that these two prophets who were to speak to the nation of Israel were both equipped with encouragement from the Lord to face what they had to face. God had purposed judgment on his covenant nation because of the rebellion, and he gave his men the strength and the grace to speak the truth to them. Verses 10 and 11. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with mine word, thine ears, and go and get thee unto them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. God's words, all of them. That's, I am so thankful that so many years ago the Lord put it on my heart to preach through the scriptures and to quit preaching subject sermons. I'm not against subject sermons. I want you to understand that, because they're needful sometimes. But I'll say this. I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in Brother Craig's life. Preaching through the Bible, it seems like that God brings up the things that need to be brought up as you go through it. It's amazing to me how that happens. I see this in the devotion that's being brought. Brother Rick, good this morning. We needed to hear that. It was a good time for that. And Brother Clark and Jared and Cody, the Lord is using these men to help us, and I appreciate that so much. Preach my words, whether or not they hear. And so it is in our day. that the pastors and preachers of the Lord's churches are commanded of the Lord to what? Preach the word. To be instant in season and out of season. To reprove, to rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Don't get on the preacher when he reproves you or rebukes you, because the Lord commands him to do that. Can you find fault with him? Yes, you can. You can find all kinds of fault with me. I try to live in such a way that you don't, but I'd be the one, you'd be easy to find fault with this preacher. But that's not the point. If I preach God's word to you and they reprove you and they rebuke you, take it the way it comes. And that's the way it was with Ezekiel. Preach my words, he said. But only some does God give ears to hear. This nation, evidently at this point in time, had no ears to hear whatsoever, because the Lord had marked them for judgment. Verses 12 through 14. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creature that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Now, this language talking about the creatures, the wings and the wheels, he heard the same kinds of things that he heard in the first chapter with this. But here it was, the purpose was to stir up the heart of Ezekiel to preach to these people. He heard the words, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. That God was glorifying his own name. And then the Spirit took him up and took him away, and he says, I went in bitterness. Please notice, and I think I'm right when I say this, sometimes the Spirit moves people physically. Here it did Ezekiel. Sometimes the Spirit is said to have driven people, like the Lord Jesus was led of the Spirit, according to one writer. And another, I believe it's Mark, says he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness. Later on, we'll see this same kind of thing with Ezekiel in the 11th chapter, verses 1 and verse 24. Let me read this, please. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looked eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jaazaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, princes of the people. Then in verse 24, afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. So it, like the Lord, was actually physically moving this man. The Spirit was moving him. I won't take time to read this, but you can read about Obadiah, the prophet in the days of Elijah, when Elijah had hidden after the great drought had come for 3.5 years. And the Lord said to Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. So he started to see King Ahab. And while he was on the way, he met Obadiah. And So Elijah said to Obadiah, said, go tell King Ahab, behold, Elijah's here. And Obadiah says, no way, man. He says, about the time I go tell him that, he said, the spirit will catch you away, no telling where. And he said, there I'll stand with egg on my face. He said, I'm not going to do that. No. Anyway, the Lord moves. You know, we don't really know all of the power of the Holy Ghost, but it can move men, and it does move men. The great rushing that Ezekiel heard glorified the Lord, for the voice said, blessed be the glory of the Lord in this place. So we're told that he went in bitterness in the heat of his spirit. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you what I think it means. There was some sorrow, I think, in his heart because of the impudence and the rebellious nature of his people, Israel, unto whom he was sent. He knew he had the message to preach, and he knew they would contradict him, and he knew they wouldn't listen, and he knew they would be judged. I think Ezekiel might have been acquainted with Jeremiah. And he saw some of the stuff that happened to Jeremiah the prophet. He may have been there close when they hauled him away and dumped him down into that dungeon. And he sunk in the mire. But he said, boy, you know, the life of a prophet's not too good here. So he must have been thinking about some of that. It could have been. I don't know. Maybe he was like Jeremiah who said, I can't take this no more. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to preach anymore. But he finally said, his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I couldn't stay. I mentioned this last time in the message. The expression, the hand of the Lord was upon him, is found exactly 7 times in this great book. Yet here in this verse, it's a little different. It's said that the hand of the Lord was strong upon him. That is, the Spirit of the Lord worked powerfully upon him, obliging him to go. And the Lord strengthened him and remove from him any thoughts of frowardness or disobedience or hesitation, prepared him to go and carry out the work. In the 15th verse, he said, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Why was he astonished? Because he knew what he had to do. He had seen the Lord. And I think he knew the woes and the problems that were going to come on these people. These were his kinfolks. It's kind of, the thought came to me when I was thinking about that. It was like when Job's 3 friends came to him and he lost everything, and there he sat with boils from the top of his head, the sole of his foot in the ashes, scraping himself with a broken piece of pottery, and they didn't speak a word for 7 days because of the sorrow and the woe that was upon Job. I think that's kind of where Ezekiel was. Verse 16 and 17. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. So a week went by. Now the Lord's word comes back to him. Ezekiel is the only one of the prophets that I can find, and maybe someone I don't think there is, who is called a watchman to the house of Israel. Remember, it says to the whole house. Who was it that went away into captivity? Judah. Remember, when did Israel go? Many years before, they were taken by the Assyrians and scattered all through that land. And the Assyrians sent people back and peopled the land of Samaria where they dwelt. But Ezekiel's prophecy is to the whole house of Israel. This is important because when he goes through all of this, and he comes to the 40th chapter, we're going to see how it relates to the whole house of Israel in the time when they are brought back into the land. So he's talking about not just Judah, but the whole house of Israel. And he declares to them God's word in the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. We read about him being a watchman again. Now, let's read verse 18 and 19 together. The Lord said to him, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." This is talking about a man who lived in a wicked way. And Ezekiel was set as a watchman to warn him that if he didn't turn from the way in which he's living, that he was going to perish. And the Lord said, if you don't warn him, he's going to die in his iniquity, but I'm going to require his blood at your hand. You're the watchman. You're responsible to warn him. You're standing between me and this man who's going to reap the consequences of his sin. It's up to you to warn him. Now, with that in mind, I say this, sinner friend, that you have not come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you die in your sins and the unforgiveness of your sins, you're going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire. The world says, don't say that. You're not supposed to scare people. My, I think Ezekiel scared these people when they were wicked. I think he said, you're going to die. You're going to get your head cut off, or whatever it was that was going to take their life. And if they didn't listen, and they died anyway, then he had delivered his soul. He wasn't responsible. He wasn't accountable anymore. You've done your duty when you warn them. You're clear from the charge of negligence and sloth, from being answerable for the death of the sinner. And you'll save yourself. Now listen, how about preachers today? We're not watchmen under the house of Israel, but we're set in the church to watch for the souls of God's people. Paul said to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's a pretty good parallel. In verses 20 and 21 of chapter 3, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he's warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. Here's a person that lives an upright, righteous life. He's just in what he does. You know, I can kind of compare that to the nation in which many of us that are older grew up. I saw many people who were unsaved, who never came to know the Lord in their life, as far as I know. But they were honest men. They were just men. They were not murderers. They didn't commit outward iniquity. I know they were sinners and their heart was full of that. But the time, I suppose, restrained them. God restrained them. But here, a man turned from what he's doing that's right and said, I'm going to live a life of sin. And he goes into sin. Ezekiel, he said, it's your duty to warn that man. Because if you don't, he's going to die in his sin, and all the stuff that he's, the way he's lived, is not going to be remembered. But if you warn him, you've delivered your soul. You're not accountable. I want to say this to you now. I want you to listen to me. This man you've chosen to be your pastor, you've chosen to submit yourself to his leading and his preaching of the word. Are you listening? The Lord says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. He has to give account. I have to give account. Every pastor in every church has to give account, because the work is the souls of men. They must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And when the grief comes, that's unprofitable for you. You see, they listen. Ezekiel knew he had a grave responsibility as a watchman to the whole house of Israel. We're almost done. Verse 22. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me. And he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee, The Lord moved strongly on Ezekiel in preparation for a new vision of God. And this vision will animate him for his work. God calls him out to the plain, and there he speaks to them. Remember, it was in the plain where he had seen a vision of God in the first chapter. In verse 23, he said, "Then I arose and went into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kibar, and I fell on my face." Again, he obeyed. He went to the plain, and he falls on his face. Very same thing that happened in the first vision. Every time a man has a fresh vision of God in front of himself, he falls on his face because he knows he's unworthy. He knows there's nothing in him good except what God gives him. So in the 24th verse, we read this, "Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, Go shut thyself within the house." Strange, isn't it? He's seen the Lord. He's ready to go. And yet the Lord sent him, go to the house and lock the door. Only God gives us the time when we're to speak. He's already told him what to do. He's given him his word to speak. He's empowered him to do it. And now he says, go take a break. Ezekiel had a fresh view of the glory of God. And here, he still wasn't ready because it wasn't God's time. There was still some preparation, apparently, on Ezekiel's part and on the part of the people. You know, sometimes the greatest thing we can do is be still and wait on the Lord. That's what he was doing. He went in the house and he was waiting for God to do something. If he had tried to pry that door open and go out, he'd have been in big trouble. Sometimes we get in big trouble when we try to open doors where the Lord does not open the door. Jesus said, I open the doors and no man shuts, and I close the doors and no man can open the doors. God gives us the opportunity. He prepares us for the time and he gives us the opportunity to do it. Verse 25 and 26. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. God shows them. He said, this is why I'm not sending you out there, because they're going to tie you up. They're going to put bands on you. So you're not going out there. They probably think you're crazy anyway. If you go out there, they're going to tie you up. So, I'll just fix it where you can't talk. I'll put your tongue to the roof of your mouth so you can't speak. In verse 26, it's clear that the Lord makes his tongue cleave to the roof of his mouth so that he can't speak. Wasn't time yet. So the Lord leaves the people in their sins. And he takes his word away from them because the prophet is to be silent. He lets them alone. Go on in their sins without control, which in itself is a sore judgment. I want to ask you something. when you find yourself caught in sin and you continue on, what if God just turned you loose and just let you go and didn't restrain you? How far would you go? I'll tell you how far you'd go. You'd be out there doing what these people in the country are doing today. When they want to destroy the family, when they want to say murder's not too bad, and now it's going to be a law before you know it, where it's okay if a man defiles your children because it's just another lifestyle. Hey, we think it's got worse. It's on this kind of a slide right now. The devil has done all he can do to destroy the family. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I am so glad. I am so glad. I know we're not invincible, but I am so glad that God has put us out here in the woods. And I'll tell you this. I think there's going to come a time in these towns where you're going to be glad that you pick up your goods and you head to the woods someplace to where they don't readily get their hands on you, where you can control and where you can teach your children and protect them. Are you listening? Last verse. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. God had closed his mouth, and when he was in the house, and he said, open his mouth, and cause him now to speak the word to the captives. And again, Ezekiel was not to concern himself and overly exert himself as to whether or not they heard the message. His duty was to preach God's word. Thus saith the Lord. That's why, brother and sister, that we need this book in our hand and we read it from the book, because thus saith the Lord. That's what we're supposed to preach. If you don't hear it, it's your problem. Your blood is on your own head. May God have mercy on us. Amen.